And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. It's another one of those fooler days. We have a lot of nice sunshine, but still pretty cold. And boy, it was cold early this morning. You know, we had single digits in a few spots. Moraine State Park, 9 above this morning. Here in the city of Butler, we got down as far as 12 above. Fortunately, no wind. And there's still not a great deal of wind, a little bit of a breeze out there. But hey, it's almost the middle of December, so we got to expect this a little bit. We are going to be talking with the president of Butler County Community College today, Dr. Nick Neupower. In fact, he's here in the studio right now. Dr. Neupower, good to see you.
Hi, Dave. Great to be here.
This is one of those mornings where if you're a college student, you bundle up in your parka,
yes,
and you head out to your 8 o'clock class,
yes,
shivering. You remember those days?
Yeah, and especially at University Park, because point A to point B was often very far. And I remember those days very well, bundling up. We're in finals week, mm-hmm, so things are winding up for us. Don't know that there are all that many students left on campus. But even on a campus the size of ours, from going one building to the next, it can be difficult in this weather.
Let me ask you a little bit about finals week at Butler County Community College. Now, when I was in undergraduate school, and I'm sure it was the same with you, you finished up your regular term, whatever it was, semester, quarter, and then you had a period of 4 or 5 days where there were no regular classes. You just took finals.
Yes, you correct.
Final exams. Is it that way still at BC3? Or?
Yes, it is. Now, of course, there is a there's an online component, and that would be taken in an online capacity. And then for the face-to-face classes at all of our BC3 campuses, you will still have your what is on the books is a 3-hour final exam. I know when I've taught, there have been times where students, some students have used every bit of 3 hours, and others have been done in 45 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to believe that the fall semester is literally in the books. Faculty, I believe, will turn their grades over to our registrar, and of course that's all done via technology at this point, in Monday or Tuesday of next week. We offer, I'm sure Jess will talk about this later, that we have the winter session classes. So back in our day, you ended the fall, had a month and a week off or so for the spring semester, and now we offer, I think it's about 10 or so classes over the winter session. So students literally can be ending this week and then taking that online course as soon as next week, and then they'll take that course over the holiday break and then be ready for a January spring semester start.
The president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, also with us here in the studio today is Jess Matnock. She's the executive director of communications and marketing. Jess, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
A little chilly, huh?
It is a little chilly, and 'tis the season for car troubles when it gets really cold.
And it was really cold this morning.
I could not get my car to go into drive.
Oh, boy.
So
you ran over here from the college.
I didn't. I got it to eventually, but I ran from my car in the parking lot into the studio.
Well, perfect timing.
Battery troubles are the usual thing, but yes, gearboxes can get kind of, you know, murky when it's this cold as well. Well, it's good to see you. Hey, I wanted to talk about, it was a major news story that we had just last week, I think, mm-hmm, with a gift of $500,000 from Grove City College to Butler County Community College. When I saw the headline, my first reaction was, what? A gift? But I didn't realize it's a cooperation agreement, isn't it, Dr. Neupower?
Yeah, so it was around July 4th or so where we announced this great partnership with Grove City College, very forward-thinking president, administration, board of trustees, where we have the agreement, we call it a 1-2-1 agreement with our nursing program, that Grove City students who select a wonderful institution for mission-driven and residential reasons. We'll take a year at Grove City College, generally general education type courses, year two and three. They'll still have a blend of courses at their home institution, but also be taking some courses in our nursing program, and then actually graduate from our nursing program. And then year four, these students wind up back at Grove City to complete the BSN. It was very important to President McNulty that we announced that in the summer. Grove City's recruiting model is very different than ours. Grove City will bring students in between their junior and senior year in over the summer, generally with their family. And we understood where President McNulty was coming from, that Grove City wanted to have this listed as an offering for potential students for next year's class. He anecdotally said that there are a handful of students for each admissions day or recruiting gathering that Grove City holds that talks about nursing. And because of this partnership, we were able to have it. Our Board of Trustees was very clear that while interested in Grove City with this great collaboration, wanted to make sure that it would Grove City students would not take the seats of any of our students. So we thought it was important with the Phillips building, the Victor K. Phillips building, in the process of being constructed, that there would be some bricks and mortar space that would be designated for Grove City in this agreement. So we talked about a pledge to our foundation that would eventually go towards this match from the state once we get the state grant for this $18 million project. And our folks got together and the announcement was made. Actually, I made it last week at one of our trustee meetings. And it is so symbolic of what it takes today as a 21st century institution of higher education. Cannot go at it alone. It's about collaboration and partnership. Mm-hmm. And really, in my 20 years at the college, first starting as a dean, I don't know in 1999 that I would have ever predicted an elite liberal arts institution like Grove City going forward with a partnership like this. But I give its administration all the credit in the world, and we were excited to receive the gift. And actually, that first cohort, minus the Phillips building, because that's still in the process of being constructed, I believe will start next academic year.
The president of Grove City is Paul McNulty?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Victor Phillips Allied Nursing Building is not built yet. It's still in the design stages, I guess, right?
Actually, we're technically into phase one.
Oh, really?
We've done some of the permitting with Butler Township, some of the infrastructure. A key component to the Phillips building will be the removal of our maintenance building, the original clubhouse. Actually, that building on the south end of campus has been around for, we estimate, over 100 years or so. So we'll have to construct a new maintenance building, which will be located on Old Plank Road in the field that is adjacent to the Bennett House. Once that's constructed, we will then take down what we now know as the maintenance building. We'll get that much closer to hopefully what will be a state grant. We're estimating that will go forward in 21-22, give us the opportunity to raise more money. I will say that we're doing this in a different way than we have previous capital projects, whether it be under Dr. Bartok, the science and technology building, or in my tenure, the Heat and Family Learning Commons. Generally, we have received the okay from the state first, and then we have to come up with the matching funds. State puts in 50%. Matching funds either come from college reserves, donor dollars, county support, or a combination thereof. However, we're doing so well in fundraising that folks like Janice and Harold Larrick and Senator Schaefer believed in the cause, believed in the mission, and donated the money up front. So now we're waiting from a state approval process for the matching funds from a grant perspective.
Are there any architectural renderings of the proposed building done yet?
And I'm glad you brought that up. I failed to mention that we have the RFP that's out for the architects, and we're looking to announce the architects early in the spring semester. We do have an architect that has helped us with many projects before that put together very, very high level, 90,000 foot view, if you will, view of what this might look like. He's helping with the infrastructure. Frankly, he's the architect on record that is developing the new maintenance building, mm-hmm. frankly. Mm-hmm. But when we go through the RFP process and pick the architect in the spring semester, I'm sure that those will change a bit. But we do have the concept that we can share with donors. As a matter of fact, I think there was a rendering that went out with the release mm-hmm. When we announced this Grove City gift.
That's the first step when you're constructing a new building, any major project, what's known as renderings, technically, in the architectural field. They are like a watercolor, really, a watercolor painting of what a proposed building will look like mm-hmm. or could look like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are a number of different renderings that are presented to decision makers.
Yes.
And they decide which one they would really prefer. You know, you want one story, you want five story, you want all one level, what are you looking for? What kind of a roof and so on and so forth. And then after that's done and gets approval, then working drawings would be the next step, and those are very detailed specifications done by the architect. But you do the renderings first to get an idea what it might look like.
Loose renderings, and I'll go back to something that our wonderful executive director of operations, Brian Opitz, says very often. You can't build the box or accept the box in a donation until you know what goes in the box. Very loose language there. But what I find absolutely fascinating would be once the architect is selected, the internal dialogue and discussion that goes on with our nursing faculty, with our wonderful dean of nursing. We've taken field trips. We recently went to a field trip this semester to Montgomery College. Jess joined as part of the executive team. We traveled together right outside of D.C. There are some other field trips that are planned. We did that for the library. We visited a couple of community colleges in the state. We went out of state, liberal arts institutions, Penn State, Ohio State University. Fascinating what, from a layperson perspective, which I definitely would consider myself in this arena, what you pick up on those visits. And it's my understanding that once we plan further visits, that we'll bring the architect of a record with Brian Opitz and Dr. Anir, our dean of nursing, to go forward with what I'm certain will follow the tradition of the Student Success Center, of the Science and Tech Building, and the award-winning Heaton Family Learning Commons. It'll have a very contemporary feel, be very appropriate. Fit is very important to our campus, mm-hmm. The exterior with the beauty of our campus. So we're excited, and we're really looking for some other announcements that will be coming up in the meantime. I think it's important from my perspective that we show the community and we show the donors that there's momentum building here. And it is my guess that in the next quarter or so, we'll have some equally impressive announcements that will come up with this whole Phillips building.
And ample opportunities, career opportunities for nurses these days and in coming years, because we continue to get baby boomers who are getting older, and even younger generations who will be retiring. We know there's going to be a big need for nurses in the future, so wonderful opportunity.
And doesn't it really symbolically speak to what we're all about? We talk about our agility, our nimbleness, ability to match workforce needs. I throw those terms out there. I think later in the agenda, talk about a speaking engagement I had this morning, and I'll shed some more light on this. But when you throw that out there, just all of the work that goes into making that happen, curriculum, faculty, operating positions that are associated, making sure that Brian has help, working with our CFO, our finance committee. I'm fortunate enough to be on a committee at the state level that works with PDE for capital projects. There are so many things that go into being agile, meeting community needs. I've worked in every part of higher education, from liberal arts institutions to large research ones to regional universities. And there's no one that does it better than the community colleges in that community college space that can meet community needs like this.
When the new nursing building is complete, will there be additional seats for nursing students, nursing candidates?
Yeah, that's very important. So our dean of nursing has already expanded our nursing program. Remember, we have the two cohorts now in Brockway, so that is part of the expansion. She's already tweaked some of the numbers on our main campus. I believe that the estimate will be for BC3 students will be approximately 20 to 25 more students that can be accepted. Then on top of that would be the Grove City cohort of 20 or 22. And then on top of that would be the two cohorts in Brockway. So, yes, we've expanded a great deal. This has come to my attention as a vice president for academic affairs and as a president for many, many years that we need to expand the program. But you need the right people and the right seats in the bus. And Dean Anir, our dean of the Schaefer School of Nursing and Allied Health, is that person. She completely understands the vision. Then from our perspective, we need to provide her with the appropriate operating support. The Board of Trustees know that there would need to be some college money that will go toward what I call, using, of course, a sports analogy, giving Dean Anir the proper bench for an administrative point of view. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but the proper depth to allow us to move this project forward. And part of that, of course, is adding faculty as well.
I want to make sure I understand how the Grove City students will be involved. So hypothetically, we have a student who's going to major in nursing at Grove City College toward a Bachelor of Science degree, a BS. So they take preliminary courses at Grove City. And this would be once the new nursing building is
actually done. Even before the new nursing building. So year one at Grove City, then go ahead with the timeline.
And then they would come to Butler, to the Schaefer School of Nursing, for like clinical lab stuff, or you would have facilities in the new Victor Phillips Nursing Building that would not be available on the Grove City campus?
So even in the process of the Phillips building being constructed, we're accepting a cohort of students in next semester. So we have to convert some classroom space, labs, what have you. So the answer is yes, Grove City will provide the transportation back and forth. It's not 5 days a week. That's where you get into the micro level. Could be 2 days a week, could be 3 days a week. And the students would then have a blend of our nursing specific courses and also the gen eds back at their shop. All right. And I believe in the four semesters that they'd be going back and forth, is that there's maybe one or two semesters where their load will be more top heavy with BC3 courses, but they're mixing and matching both. They graduate with the RN. They take the licensure exams, the NCLEX tests for us. Those scores count toward our overall cohort as well. And then the fourth year, they're done with us. They actually have the credential. In the fourth year, they're taking the BSN courses back at Grove City. Grove City has gone forward and already hired, I think, a director of the program, already has some donor support. I don't know if you have that or not, Jess.
Yeah, so most of the technical and clinical courses will be in the Victor K. Phillips Nursing Building, and it's actually 41 credits that they complete that are BC3 credits, and that the majority of those are taken during their sophomore and junior years, and then they will complete their degree, the Charles Jr. and Betty Johnson School of Nursing.
Yes, at Grove City.
Is Grove City's School of Nursing. So they'll complete that fourth year there.
It seems to me, and I'm obviously not an educator, but it seems to me that this might well be the future model for a great many other disciplines in addition to nursing, you know, because a few years ago when we started to see some of the troubles in the state system schools, the 14 PASHE schools. You know, one of the things that came up was duplication of services. You would have, especially in some of the smaller major areas of study, somebody majoring in French, for example, why would you have that program at Edinburgh and Clarion and California, a duplication of services? This seems to be a future model to eliminate that problem, where you have cooperation between two schools.
You are absolutely spot on. And I mentioned this in a speaking engagement this morning. I just came back from an accreditation conference, Middle States Accreditation Conference in Philadelphia. Gone are the days where institutions can go at it alone. And let's be frank here. We're talking Grove City College, residential and mission-driven reasons. I've said this, so I can say it on the airwaves here. A decade or two ago, this would never have happened. But the administration understands the quality of our program. Why construct a nursing building and go through all the gyrations with curriculum at the RN? We have board approval, okay, or state board approval, accreditation approval. Go forward with the partnership. It is the wave of the future. Coming back from the Middle States Conference, colleges are closing, colleges are merging, as financials are a more important variable than ever before, with accrediting bodies giving the thumbs up or thumbs down to institutions of all types, two-year, four-year, public, private, research institutions, regional institutions. It makes sense from a dollars and cents perspective. But at the core of it, we have to have the solid curriculum with a great reputation, students who pass the licensure scores, the quality faculty to make this happen. And that's why Grove City reached out. You couldn't be more spot on with that comment. This is the future of higher ed.
We need to take a break. And by the way, if you come through a nursing program, you do have to pass state boards.
Correct.
I don't know what the exact number is, but I know that the percentage of Butler County Community College nursing students who pass their state boards is extremely high.
93%.
I didn't know it was that high. That's very, very good.
It is. Very good.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll go back and talk more here on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. Back right after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Holiday season has made its way to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. They have plenty of supplies to get you ready for the holidays. Stock up on gift certificates, gift baskets, tree ornaments, and holiday cards. Osterling's has warm winter-scented candles, hats, gloves, sleds, and even toy stockings for your pets. Be prepared for the holiday and winter season with all the essentials from Osterling's Lawn and Garden, where they'll have everything you'll need at a great price.
Thursday edition. It's your turn here on WISR. If you're joining us a little bit late, welcome. Nice to have you on board. I'm Dave Malarkey. Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College, is with us here in the studio, along with Jess Matnock, who's the executive director of communications and marketing for Butler County Community College. Dr. Neupower, you said you had a speaking engagement just this morning?
Yes, I did. I was happy to join the president, relatively new president of Westminster College, President Richardson. Interestingly, we both share communication background. As a matter of fact, taught many of the same courses in our life's journey, public relations, mass media type classes. But the leadership Butler County program has done so well over the years. Jess and I are graduates, and you know the success that that program's had, understands leadership, is that Lawrence County has replicated that program. So they're in their second of what I'm sure will be an annual cohort for Leadership Lawrence County. And today was Education Day, went to Newcastle, and just absolutely fascinating perspective. We're institutions that are similar. We're both around she said her operating budget annual is about $32 million. I believe ours is roughly about $31 million. So for all intents and purposes, we have the same operating budget. But just from a liberal arts president's perspective and a community college perspective, many similarities. That might surprise some folks, but we're not really all that different. I would say that we have greater flexibility in our mission than a traditional liberal arts institution does. But it was great to meet young and up-and-coming leaders and just talk about the state of higher education. And what was referenced earlier is the need for collaboration and partnership. Interestingly, Westminster has a similar nursing model, but they do it with UPMC, what used to be the Jamison School of Nursing.
Oh, okay.
So they actually have the same type of program. I love representing the college in that fashion, of as many external speaking engagements as possible. Fortunately, have the right players and the right seats in the bus, to borrow something from Collins, who talks about leadership. And the ship is running on all cylinders internally and allows the president to go out and speak to donors, spend time with donors, elected officials, in a speaking engagement like this.
You also spoke at IUP. They have a doctoral program in leadership. That's kind of interesting.
Yes. Absolutely love any opportunity like that. Very large cohort, I believe about 30 to 35 folks. There was only one superintendent. The rest were on a higher ed track, ranged from folks who were in PASHI to private institutions to community colleges. I believe our Associate Director of Admissions is the title for Morgan Rosardi. Mm-hmm. She is in the cohort, and it's fascinating to go over. I did this morning, kind of a nutshell version, Cliff Notes version of education in our country, and maybe I can do it in about a minute and a half here. Very much like the mass media, education started for the elite in our country. And then if you go to the printing press and the penny papers by Greenleaf, that was a way of moving that medium to the masses. And no matter what the mass medium that pops up, it does start very expensive, and then it works its way to the masses. Higher ed's the same way. So in 1862, you had the Morrill Act, the Land Grant Act, which allowed for Penn State, West Virginia, Michigan State, Ohio State, Florida State. The federal government provided land for these universities that was primarily for agriculture. In 1890s, there was a second version of the Land Grant Act, which was designated for HBCUs, historic black college and university. Around these parts, you had normal schools, which then went to state teacher colleges. In 1901, you had Juliet Junior College in Illinois, which was the first community college that was created. And then post 1940s, 50s, after World War II and the Korean War, is when community colleges really began to expand. normal schools went to state teachers' colleges and then state colleges. And, of course, the system was created in 83. Indiana was always a university, but Slippery Rock, Edinburgh, and Clarion's Cows of the world went from a college status to a university status and unified under a system. In Pennsylvania, the Community College Act was founded in 63. It called for 28 community colleges. Today, there's half that number. An interesting response from Penn State and Pitt, I referenced this, I believe, in previous shows, was that the administration of both institutions weren't happy that the state legislature embraced a new form of higher education. That would be community colleges, particularly you had the military folks coming back with the GI benefits. Mm-hmm. Population was very different back then. And Penn State and Pitt's protest was to create probably what would be about 80 to 85% of the branch campuses in the Pitt and Penn State system. And if you look at where branch campuses, Penn State's case, are located, they're literally right in the backyard of where most community colleges are. Our state does not have a master plan for higher education. Governor Corbett tried to address that. It's coming back up again in the current legislature. And the reason I say that, and I mentioned earlier today that it is the wild, wild west out there, is you frankly don't have the population to support so many institutions. So Middle States Conference talked about closures, mergers of institutions. And I think reading the tea leaves here in Pennsylvania, that could be a possibility. There have already been three that have closed. Erie used to have its own community college. Williamsport had its own community college. And you may remember north of here that there was an Alliance College, which I believe was tied to a Polish ethnicity that has since closed. Mm-hmm. So that in a minute of and a half is literally 300 or 400 years of higher education. Make no mistake about it, our United States system of higher education is still the strongest in the country. There's no doubt about it, although public opinion generally falls in political lines nowadays. Public opinion of higher education has changed a great deal. There is not necessarily the support that there once was, which makes it very interesting for all of us, whether public or private.
Butler County Community College, we had this news story just a few days ago, was selected as the 2019 Collaborator of the Year by the Butler County Human Services. Jess, do you know what that's all about?
Yes, I do. I attended the breakfast with Dr. Newpower, who accepted the award on the college's behalf, and our colleagues on cabinet and leadership initiatives. BC3 was presented with this award that was on December 5th at the atrium, and it recognizes an organization that demonstrates the commitment to collaboration, which is what we were just discussing with the nursing program with Grove City. Mm-hmm. That's just one example of many examples that they cited, and it was an honor to be chosen for this.
And I'll jump in here also. We've received a lot of awards and recognitions, and as I said, as I took the podium on that day, that was really one of the most significant. It speaks to our role in this terrific county. Our leadership in the county, this Board of Commissioners, can utilize the college to help carry out its vision, whether that be an economic development with the newly created Butler County Growth Collaborative, mm-hmm. addressing the opiate problem that our society faces. And, of course, our Hope is Dope problem, our Hope is Dope program is going incredibly well. Our whole downtown initiative. How about the aviation partnership at the airport? From an economic development point of view, our commissioners moved that model forward, want us to have a regional airport very much like Latrobe, address the shortage in that particular industry, and we go forward and partner with High Flight and Community College of Beaver County to offer that aviation curriculum. Those are just a few examples. It was a great day for the college, and we couldn't have been more pleased than to receive this award.
One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Golan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. I mention them specifically today because, you know, if you still have packages and gifts to go out to family and friends who live far away, holiday packages, why not consider letting Gone Postal Butler package those items for shipping? It's really convenient. Yeah. It's very affordable. It's very fast. I've utilized their services. They're excellent. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. And you can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. But the folks at Gone Postal Butler will package them up for you. You better hurry if you want Christmas packages to get there in time. Gone Postal Butler is located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Now, that complex is right behind Kings and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road here in Butler, right near the top of the hill. You know where they're located. Gone Postal Butler is open Monday through Friday, your friendly neighborhood shipping center, especially for the holidays and gifts. Gone Postal Butler. We'll be right back.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. By the way, a couple of quick program notes. Tomorrow, among our guests, will be Butler Township City Joint Fire Chief Chris Witala. We're going to be talking about holiday safety, fire safety, things like holiday lights, extension cords, fireplaces, candles. A lot of people burn candles at Christmas time. A lot of safety concerns there, carbon monoxide. So the chief will be with us. And also coming up next week, we'll be hitting the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, wow, which was the last major offensive movement of the Nazi armies in World War II. It lasted for about 3 weeks, started in the middle of December 1944, ended in January, and that was the beginning of the end for Germany, because the war in Europe ended in the spring of that year, in May of that year. But it was a ferocious campaign, bitterly cold, one of the coldest winters in Europe in decades. So we'll talk a little bit about that next week. Just wanted to let you know. 75 years since the Battle of the Bulge. Dr. Nick Neupower is with us, president of Butler County Community College. There were new appointees to the Board of Trustees recently. Jess Matnock has that story for us.
Yes, Nadine Tripodi, who is the owner and CEO of Butler Technologies, she was appointed in October, and she'll be completing the term of Ray Steffler, who passed away, and he was our longest standing board member at BC3.
30-some years, I think, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 34. Mm-hmm. And then also Vicki Hinterberger, president and general manager of Butler Radio Network. She was appointed just this month, and she's completing the term of Bruce Mazzoni, who served more than 10 years on the board.
Well, I know her. She's my boss.
You're probably familiar, yeah.
Yeah. I know Nadine, too. Nadine Tripodi, who's the president and COO of a really high-tech company here in Butler, Butler Technologies. They do good stuff. It's the company that came up with the some of the heating elements and the Olympic jackets for the U.S. Olympic team last year.
Yeah, and they employ some BC3 alumni who worked on that particular project. So,
So the process is that, of course, our board is appointed by our local sponsor, and that would be the Butler Commissioners, the Board of Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told this in the past, and I agree with it. I think this is probably the elite board, I say this humbly, prestigious board in the county. And our commissioners over the years, no matter what board, have never let us down. Just great, rock-solid folks. And people who are already very busy, and that certainly is the case for Nadine and Vicky, not only with their professional lives, but for service organizations. And then, unfortunately, probably the personal side of things takes a back seat. But we're so looking forward to having these individuals. I've been on various committees with these folks, particularly Nadine. They'll add a great deal of expertise for this already phenomenal board. Our chair is Joe Cubitt. Our vice chair is Dr. Bill DiCuccio. Our secretary, our treasurer, I should say, is Scott McDowell. And our secretary is Jennifer Puller. So we have some big hitters on the board.
Indeed. Butler County Community College is seeking input at advisory board meetings. I didn't know you had advisory boards.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about this. It actually correlates well with the last point. Our Butler County Commissioners appoint our governing board. When we go out of county, we do not go to those commissioners from the other counties. We charge the student that higher tuition rate. Mm-hmm. Basically, we tax the user. And while there's no form of formal governance in those counties as it relates to their county commissioners, we do have advisory boards that basically are made up of very similar individuals to our board of trustees, educators, industry, folks who do very well philanthropically. And we talk about how it is that we can help them, how they can help us. Curriculum, is there anything that we're missing? Remember, not just on the credit side, but workforce development side. Make us aware of opportunities that otherwise wouldn't exist. We work with the local workforce investment boards. We take a look at what's called high priority occupations. And I really wanted to mention this because us all being in the communication field, the difference between one-way top-down communication and a two-way dialogue. We take the input from these advisory committees and these advisory boards, not necessarily all of it, but a fair share of it, and we work that feedback into the curriculum and our operations. And we have advisory boards for each of our campus sites. Of course, that's BC3 at Lawrence Crossing in Lawrence County, BC3 at Linden Point in Mercer County, BC3 at Brockway in Jefferson County, and, of course, BC3 at Armstrong in Fort City.
Speaking of which, that location is going to be moving, right?
It's going to be moving to the old Fort City Junior Senior High School, which is in downtown Fort City, to a 25,000 square foot facility, which is a larger facility than when we're operating now. And it's definitely needed because we've had an over 400% increase in enrollment at that location since we've started.
Fort City High School closed, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember exactly.
That's about right.
They merged with Katanning High School. Ford City and Katanning High School have become Armstrong.
Along with Elderton. Fort City is a really cool community. Folks have been wonderful to us. Of course, the significance of PPG, and Fort City was named after Mr. Ford, had a lot to do with PPG. Western Pennsylvania, we love the past and love where buildings used to be and all of that good stuff. But none of us realized the significance of the location. That's where 100 years worth of Ford City residents graduated. Mm. And at one time, when PPG was in its prime, there were many, many nationalities, the melting pot that worked in that area. And after talking to folks that are, you know, still connected with that high school and trying to help in terms of bringing those graduating classes together and really fall on the history, said it wouldn't have been unusual 75 years or so ago to hear up to 10 different languages that were spoken, because you had the melting pot of all the folks from the old country who were coming over.
Many of them working at, I think, the PPG Pittsburgh Plate Glass, they made windshields, I think, for cars in Fort City, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And I believe Elder, Elgin, there were a number of businesses that were also located in Fort City. And we have the town and gown with the city of Butler, and Fort City has really been working on that. So we think that we could be a pretty cool component along those lines as to helping with a different kind of population who would be frequenting the drugstores, the coffee shops, the eating establishments in Ford City. Mm-hmm. They've been absolutely great partners to work with. And another thing that speaks to the strength of Butler County is that Jess mentioned 25,000 square feet. I think it's up to 25,000 square feet. Architects will help us with that. But we're looking to partner. As a matter of fact, we know we will be partnering with the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources. That's Mike Grob's group in downtown. And we'll be moving forward with another community partner that actually has a great history and heritage here in Butler County. So it just speaks to, we're not in individual silos that stop at imaginary county lines. It is a regional approach. And I'm excited that some of the strength of Butler County is moving one county over. Our commissioners are completely on board. And we're looking, this is aggressive, but we're looking for a fall of 21 kickoff.
Mm. Yes, of course, Armstrong County does not have a community college. Mm-hmm. But I was still surprised at the increase in the number of students attending BC3 at Armstrong.
So moving to
obviously a need is there.
Yes.
Absolutely. And moving to another facility won't only give us additional space, but it also allows us to expand our offerings. So actually, we're already in the plans to offer social work starting next semester, but there will also be a new program in criminology and secondary education whenever we move into the new facility. So.
Is Ford City, the old Ford City High School, is it right in town? I've never been there. I've been to Ford City many times, but I've never
been
there.
The heart of the downtown, the building has since been raised. And so you just talk about infrastructure, layperson, underground stuff, permitting and all of that. The site where this will be happening was the actual site of the Ford City High School. Mm. And there's a parking lot that is associated. Parking lots are incredibly expensive. And frankly, we have a parking lot that's right across the street from where the building will be. We'll have some parking around the new building, and we've talked to some very important people in that area that will give us access to other parking. It is a great example of community members and even governmental officials coming together and moving forward with this expanded version of BC3 at Armstrong.
Administrators from Butler County Community College were in Philadelphia to attend the Middle States Conference, or is that coming up? Have you already been there?
Yes, just back from that. And the first time where I've ever taken the train into Philadelphia, and I would recommend it. I didn't take it from Pittsburgh. I drove to Harrisburg, and then it was about an hour and 45 minutes from Harrisburg to Philly. This is where those colleges and universities and the primarily the Middle States region. Let me see if I can get this, which would be Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York. There's a New England region also, Puerto Rico, and I might be missing another state or so. Come together, and we heard from representatives from the Federal Department of Education. And this is important because we cannot grant federal or state financial aid unless we get approval from our accrediting agency. And there are more and more regulations and guidelines as time has gone on. Then you have the concurrent sessions where you're able to hear from sister institutions in the region, talk about what it's doing with strategic planning, academic assessment, general education, core curriculum. But what I found most interesting from my lens and my seat are the guidelines that relate to the Federal Department of Education. Both representatives from Middle States and the Federal Department of Ed openly spoke of closures and mergers. And I think the biggest variable going forward, to no surprise, particularly with the shrinking enrollments, will be taking a look at an institution of any kind, its finances. And fortunately, this comes with a lot of hard work at our shop, led by a great CFO and finance committee. Our finances are rock solid. But in moving forward, it won't be evaluation as much on the assessment of student learning, although that's very important. It will be the viability of an institution's finances.
How often are institutions of higher education accredited or reaccredited by Middle States?
That just changed. So it used to be every 10 years, and then the middle was a five-year periodic review report. That has actually gone down to 8 years, and 4 years will be a midpoint review. Our midpoint review will be 21, and then I believe our eight-year self-study will be 24, 25.
Mm-hmm. And this is very important because in some parts of the country, you know, there have been quasi-institutions of higher education that have sprung up, and they're really not offering what needs to be offered. So if you, that's why the outside accreditation process is so very important.
And great point. Think of all the for-profits. Think of the Art Institute and Argosy, I believe, and other for-profits that closed.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, of all the variables, this might surprise you and your listeners, of all of the variables that are analyzed for the survivability, success, or lack thereof for institutions of higher ed, a number that keeps coming up over and over and over again, and we are the leader in the state in this capacity, is student loan defaults. And our default rate is the lowest among the 14 community colleges. I am so proud of that number. We're in the 8% range. And the national average for community colleges is maybe double that, but that you need to dissect that statement also. We're open access. We take at-risk students.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that institutions shouldn't pay attention to that number. We've paid attention to it. I've testified before the House and the Senate. Our financial aid does a great job with financial literacy. We don't auto-package loans, and what that means is bring a bunch of federal loans, federal grants, state loans, and private that would be from banking, and lump them together and then set you off on your merry way just for the sake of enrollment. We spend time, and I know for a fact, because I've received some calls over the years of my various positions, where some students were upset that they didn't necessarily get a thumbs up from our folks to get all of these private loans. And that is not only a teachable moment, but in this crazy wild, wild west of higher education, that's a variable that is becoming more and more important for institutions of higher education. And we are a leader in that capacity with that low number.
We'll take a final break here on the It's Your Turn program for a Thursday. So stick around. We'll be back again in just a couple of minutes.
Shopping for a mortgage? Don't just compare the mortgage rates. At Armco Credit Union, they'll not only offer a competitive rate, but they may be able to save you money with lower fees and closing costs. Whether you're looking for a VA, FHA, or conventional loan, they're here to help guide you through the mortgage process so you can make the best decision for your situation. Call today, 724-284-2020. Don't have time to call or visit? Apply for a mortgage online at armcocu.com. Like them on Facebook and be the first to learn about their promotions or events. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Escape the hustle and bustle and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Michael's Restaurant. Meet at Michael's for a get-together with family and friends or on your way to or from the light show. And don't forget, every Friday night is prime rib night. Need a quick gift? Michael's Restaurant gift cards also make great stocking stuffers.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
And happy holidays, like it or from not. Tobacco for Less.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
Hey, high school juniors, how would you like a free trip to Washington, D.C.? Central Electric Cooperative's Youth Tour is an all-expense-paid, week-long chance for you to sit down with elected officials and experience our nation's capital. You will meet students from across the country and hear from dynamic leaders. Bottom line, you will make friendships that last a lifetime and be part of a group that has more than 50,000 alumni, including U.S. senators and CEOs. Youth Tour 2020 is from June 21st to 26th and is open to juniors residing in a home receiving electric from Central Electric. Interested students must complete application requirements before January 10th. For details, visit www.central.coop. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Emily Shoemaker, and I make safety a top priority because I want to go home to my husband and sons every day. Why do you? This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
A couple of minutes left to chat with our guest from Butler County Community College. The late Sarah Kucinich was a graduate of Butler County Community College in the School of Nursing, as a matter of fact, and so tragically died in a traffic accident in Kentucky, I think it was, mm-hmm. Tennessee, where she was working. And by the way, she was a peripatetic mm-hmm. a nurse. Tragic story, but her family and others decided they would try to establish a scholarship in her memory. Mm-hmm. And they had a fundraiser and, gosh, generous outpouring of gifts. A wonderful gesture, I think, to her, to memory of this wonderful young woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The first, Sarah Kucinich.
Yeah.
Kucinich. Adventure 5K Run Walk. I just want to make sure I was pronouncing it correctly. It's a name that doesn't sound like how it's spelled.
A little bit like New Power, actually.
Yeah, and like Matt Knock.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But it was held at BC3, and there over $5,000 was raised at the first walk, which puts that scholarship, memorial scholarship, at $25,000, which is the most we've ever raised for a memorial scholarship at BC3.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm good.
The Pittsburgh Philharmonic is going to be at Suckup Theater. It's this weekend, right?
It is.
Holiday concert?
Yep. I think it's the most popular concert of the year. It's at 7:30 this Saturday night. The Philharmonic is doing Winter Wonderland and Holiday Caroling Spectacular. So they're going to perform iconic pieces like the Nutcracker Suite and also some classic renditions of favorite carols. So that will be about an hour and a half concert, and Santa Claus will be there.
Great.
Excellent.
So he will be the special guest of that evening. And then anyone who attends the concert and brings a new toy for the Toys for Tot toy drive will receive a complimentary ticket for an upcoming show in the spring.
And that concert, the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, is this Saturday night at Suckup Theater, 7:30. So this is finals week
yes.
at BC3 right now. I assume the college was shut down for a few days for a Christmas break, but that'll be the winter session right away, right?
Yeah, so we're in session next week, or administrators and staff next week, and then the following Monday. And then I think we have an 8 or a 9 day break over the holidays, and then we come back and correct. Even though that those 8 or 9 days that the college will be closed as part of our normal process, that we will have students who will be taking classes online and faculty who will be teaching those classes.
Mm-hmm. Nice to have the two of you here today.
Thank you, Dave. Happy holidays, sir.
Yeah, and also to you, Dr. Nick Newpower, president of Butler County Community College, Jess Matnock, director of communications and marketing. Just a quick program note, it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh. Mike Lang on WISR tonight with live play-by-play of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Columbus Blue Jackets, airtime 6:30. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow, the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
And 10
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls of